Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thanks for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we left off here in the life of David with David in the forest of Hereth. Remember, the prophet Gad had come to David and said, hey, don't stay here in the stronghold anymore. You need to get into the land of Judah. And so David did that. He listened to the word of the prophet. And we pick it up in verse 6, and it says this. Then Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered. Now Saul was sitting in Gibeah under the tamarisk tree on the height with his spear in his hand, and all of his servants were standing around him. You know, this a lot of detail there, which sort of makes you ask, why? Why that level of detail? Well, it's very descriptive. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But notice what Saul was doing. He was just sitting. He's sitting in Gibeah, okay? Sitting on a hill in Judah.
Okay, if you insist. I could while away the hours.
What in the world was that? I tell you, am I the only one that's having this type of issue with the woman in the computer? Becoming very, very sensitive in recent days. I've actually checked it out to see if I can find a setting to adjust, and I hadn't found anything. But anyway, here's Saul is. He's sitting at the homestead, sitting in Gibeah, and he's sitting there. And I see parallels here between what we've seen already in elements in Saul's life. When Goliath was coming out and threatening Israel and the armies of Israel every day, Saul was in there sitting. Here he's sitting under the tamarisk tree, which is a kind of tree, okay? But it's also translated as the idea of a grove, a sort of a place of relaxing, okay? So he's sitting on this tree, and he has the spear in his hand. He sits there with a spear in his hand. We saw him sitting there with the spear in his hand with David, and he wound up trying to skew David. We saw him sitting with a spear in his hand with his son Jonathan, and he did likewise, tried to kill him. And here he is again with spear in his hand, sitting on this hilltop in Gibeah, and all of his servants were standing around him. And so apparently they'd all been called together because he's about to talk to him. But, you know, you got this picture of someone who is the king, had been the king, but the Spirit of the Lord has now departed from him. He doesn't have the power of the Lord, and yet he's playing the role of the king, and he's looking very kingly, but it's out of his control, and he is out of control. Watch what happens. Verse 7, Saul said to his servants who stood around him, hear now, O Benjamites, will the son of Jesse also give to all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? Well, he's speaking of David, but he calls him the son of Jesse. Yes, as we've said before, a little bit of that element of he who will not be named going on here. And he's talking to his people, the Benjamites here, his servants around him, and he says, hey, is it David who gives you all fields and vineyards? Is it David that's going to make you commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? Well, they're described here as servants, okay? Be they military servants or servants meeting the needs of the king, we're not told. But he's throwing down before them some bribes. He says, is David going to take care of you? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do that? Verse 8, for all of you have conspired against me, so that there is no one who discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you who is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in ambush as it is this day. So here the king, here Saul is, he's terrified. He thinks David is about to come. He thinks David is about to ambush him, which explains why he's on a mountaintop here with a spear in his hand, I would guess, with his servants around him. They'll have to get through the servants before they get to the king, right? But look at how maudlin this is. I mean, he says there's not a one of you You've all conspired against me. None of you disclosed to me that my son made a covenant with Jesse. He's assuming that everybody knew this and that everybody was in on it. Now, we've already seen that everybody liked David. Okay? Remember that we saw a verse earlier that even the servants of Saul especially liked David? So now Saul is turned against his own servants and saying, you're conspiring against me. And then he does this thing, which just so shows so much about him. He says, none of you who is sorry for me. Think on that. You're the king. You're the king that's a head taller than everybody else. You're the king that's had it all. You've been victorious, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But none of you feel sorry for me. None of you disclose to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me. He's blaming Jonathan for stirring up David against him. And so now he's so frustrated by this that he's turning to his servants and he's turning to the people. Now watch what happens. Verse 9. Then Doeg the Edomite. Remember him? Remember Doeg? Remember when David first came in to Ahimelech and asked for some food? That Doeg the Edomite was there? Yeah, same one. Doeg the Edomite, who was standing by the servants of Saul, said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. Now remember, Doeg was not an Israelite. He was not Jewish. He was likely a prisoner of war. He was the chief shepherd. He was in charge of the shepherds and everything. He'd risen through the ranks, as it be. But nobody else of the servants of David said anything. Perhaps they didn't have anything to say. They probably didn't. But here old Doeg says, I saw him. I saw the son of Jesse. He came to Nob. He came to Ahimelech, the son of Hitub. And he continues, verse 10. He inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Now, Doeg was describing exactly what did happen. Ahimelech did inquire of the Lord for David. He did give him provisions. Remember, he gave him 5 loaves of bread. And he did give him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. How do you think that Saul is going to hear that? How do you think he's going to receive it? Yeah, we're going to see later. We're out of time for today. We won't go any further than here. But we're going to see that that inquiring of the Lord, giving David provision and giving him the sword, in Saul's mind, the priest and everybody with him, his entire household and all the other priests, had turned against him, had turned to David, and they were actively going and conspiring against Saul. That's how Saul's going to receive this. Remember what happened? We saw it. The priest was sort of reticent about doing anything with David, but he inquired of the Lord for him. He gave him that provision. And when David says, do you have any weaponry? He said, well, we got that sword of Goliath that you left here, you know. But it's going to wind up costing them dearly. Costing them dearly in what happens right here. I tell you what, my time's up for right now. We'll pick up in the next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.